Welcome to Two Open Doors, the podcast that explores our power to open or close the doors of relationship with the important people in our lives. We hope you'll learn from and share your wisdom with our community. Thanks for joining us. Human sexuality is a strong force, which impacts both personal lives and the fabric of society in many ways. Not surprisingly, then, sex can stir up some very strong feelings in people. Similarly, the expression of sexuality can provoke both strong reactions and constraints in many, if not most, societies. In this post, we'll take a look at a connection that bears on this uneasy relationship between sex and society: how morality enters the realm of sexuality. It's important to understand this connection if we as individuals are to be able to comfortably and responsibly enjoy the gift of sexuality. Let's start by considering what morality is. The Oxford Dictionary defines it as follows. First, a particular system of values and principles of conduct, especially one held by a specified person or society. And second, the extent to which an action is right or wrong. As we see, this definition positions morality as a tool for evaluating the goodness or badness of our possible actions. It's about right and wrong. Implicit in this definition is the assumption or assertion that there is an objective yardstick that we can use to assess the rightness of actions. In positioning morality as a system of values and principles of conduct, the definition also implies that society has a legitimate role in assessing right and wrong. That's not just the purview of individuals. Taken in the context of sexuality, morality thus entails assessing the impact that sex can have on those we interact with. Other than in self-pleasuring, our engagement in sexual acts can certainly affect those we interact with. In fact, considering how deeply sex can affect us, physically, mentally, and emotionally, it's clear that we need to consider that potential impact as we decide how and with whom to express our sexuality. Sex has many possible consequences. From my perspective, things get murkier when one thinks about who has the right to assess, or effectively pass judgment on, sexual acts. The more entities are involved in that assessment process, the more complicated things get. Worse, empowering others to gauge our own actions raises the possibility of infringement on our individual right and responsibility to choose our own actions. That presents a slippery slope on which others' agendas can supersede our own. It's at least a yellow flag. Note that morality is different from the related but different concept of ethics. While both morality and ethics deal with assessing right and wrong in actions, ethics refers to externally developed and applied rules, while morality is centered on an individual's own internal assessment of possible actions. This distinction underscores that both individuals and society weigh in on assignments of right and wrong. Why should we even trouble ourselves to think about the morality of our sexual expressions? To me, that becomes a necessity because of the reality that sex can have consequences. Certainly, one should consider possible physical impact, such as pregnancy or the transmission of STIs. Beyond that, though, sex can have a large mental and/or emotional impact on our partners. In opening ourselves to share sexual experiences, we make ourselves vulnerable. As examples, breaches of trust can destroy our sense of safety with a partner, and thoughtless rejection or invalidation by a partner can devastate our sense of self-worth and our ability to confidently reach out to connect with others. It seems that fairness, kindness, and consideration for our sexual partners are necessary elements in any intimate interaction. I believe that it's also important to be aware of the moral implications of sex because that awareness can help preserve our right to make free and responsible choices for ourselves. As we grow up, we receive lots of social programming that seeks to regulate our sexual behavior. Parents, teachers, and churches all seek to influence and guide our behavior long before our own abilities to make moral judgments are mature. As a consequence, we may find that our adult life is strongly shaped by what others have decided is right, rather than by our own assessment of what goals, beliefs, and behaviors best suit us. While it may be easier to live according to the dictates of that internalized autopilot, doing so reduces our range of choice, and it can lead to deep-seated internal conflict and unhappiness. I see personal choice and personal responsibility as flip sides of the same coin. For that reason, I'm a committed advocate for striving for self-awareness and self-understanding. Without that, we can't make informed life choices for ourselves. We can't know what goals to pursue, or what sorts of relationships suit us, or what things bring meaning to our lives. Without knowing ourselves, we remain dormant and underdeveloped. Externally promoted sexual ethics can easily overshadow our own sense of sexual morality, perhaps without even our consciously being aware of potential conflicts between those two sources of guidance for our actions and choices. In my relationship and intimacy coaching work, I promote what I call rechoicing, in which I help a client better understand themselves so that they can make better informed choices about how to find and nurture their intimate connections. In my experience, many people don't seem to realize that some of the programming that they absorbed in youth may not suit them, and may even be hurting them. I see it as a very hopeful and liberating thing that, as adults, those clients can make better choices, effectively altering their own programming for their own betterment. None of us are slaves to our past. We are who we are because of our past, but that does not determine the future-shaping decisions that we can make in the present moment. We all truly have the power to choose a better future for ourselves. The choices we make in life can deeply affect the happiness and satisfaction that we find in our lives. Our relationships are especially significant sources of potential personal satisfaction, so it's crucially important that we do the work to understand ourselves and learn how relationships work. Supporting that effort is the main mission of my Two Open Doors work. As one facet of that work, I hope that this podcast can serve as a source of insight, encouragement, and mental stimulus for my audience. Coaching is, of course, only one possible vehicle for supporting personal growth. Therapy or counseling are examples of other helping modalities that also offer benefits. Many people use therapy to develop in-depth understanding of how they've been shaped by their past and how that shaping is playing out in their present lives. In some particularly challenging and impactful areas of personal formation, such as deep trauma, therapy is probably the only model of client interaction that offers officially sanctioned support for clients. In many other areas, though, the coaching model can prove very helpful and beneficial as a tool for client growth and healing. In life coaching, as in therapy, the client holds both the power and the responsibility for their own advancement. Only the client can make the decisions and take the actions that are necessary to promote their growth. However, informed, well-trained, and caring coaches can provide invaluable support to a client by providing resources, relevant knowledge, encouragement, and accountability. As individuals with full and busy lives, we all can benefit from having a capable partner in working toward achieving a richer and more meaningful life. We don't have to try to go it alone. In fact, most people are likely to have limited success without some form of support. That's especially true in dealing with as convoluted, socially fraught, and emotionally loaded an area of life as one's sexuality and one's intimate relationships. I certainly see that as being true for my own life. For that reason, I see it as both a humbling privilege and a profound source of personal meaning to be able to help my clients in these challenging areas. I am very grateful to those who place their trust in me to help them grow. I can think of few more meaningful ways to connect with my fellow explorers of life. To learn more about Two Open Doors and to engage with our community, I'd like to invite you to visit the Two Open Doors private Facebook group for posts and discussion, and the Two Open Doors meetup group for events. I also invite you to contact me directly by writing to me at Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, at twoopendoors.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll use your inputs to guide my work on future blog posts and podcast episodes. Thanks for visiting Two Open Doors.